Welcome to the Jeremy and Matt podcast. We are going to be talking about something that we have put a lot of thought into over the past weeks, aren't we, Matt?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Go ahead and tell them, Jeremy, what we're going to be talking about tonight.
Well, that's the thing, Matt. We have to kind of build the suspense.
Oh, we've been studying a lot.
I mean, a lot. I think that we could say like many.
This has been a lifetime worth of research.
Like, I mean, would you say from the moment that we became Christian, converted, we've been working on this study? Would you say that, Matt?
That would be very accurate, yes. All right, so we're going to go ahead and reveal the topic for this evening. So go ahead and just make yourself comfortable and get some popcorn and a beverage.
And we'll tell you what the topic is shortly in a little while.
Yeah. So we're going to go ahead and just let you go get everything that you need, and we're going to make a reveal when that happens.
Do we have any good coordinates or something?
All right, so open up your Bibles to...
we're not opening our Bible up at this second.
Oh, no, we already have it opened.
Yeah, it's open. To Hosea 2. Oh, Hosea 2. That's a good one. What do you want to say about Hosea 2, Matt?
Well, I was going to let you go first because I'm just real generous.
Well, I mean, Hosea is a good book. It's in the Bible. It's about bad things happening to good people, you know?
Oh, wow. All right, so that starts the first. Okay, so that brings us to a very important point that we need to make sure that all of our followers understand.
The millions of them that are listening right now.
Is that do bad things happen to God's people because they have sinned? Because we live in a fallen world, a broken world? Or is there some other thing going on that God's people encounter hardships?
I mean, with Hosea, for example, he had a really cool encounter with God. It says, the Lord began to speak to Hosea. That's really cool, isn't it, Matt? You want God to speak to you, don't you?
Every day.
Every day. I mean, I say that's like something that I definitely shoot for, very high up on the list. But then God says something kind of strange. You want to read it, Matt?
Where?
Right up there.
That's not Hosea 2.
Well, it's Hosea 1, so we can get to Hosea 2.
Oh,
if you
okay.
talk about Hosea 2 before talking about Hosea 1, then everybody's going to wonder what you're talking about.
Okay, gotcha.
Generally.
So I'm starting at verse 1. The word of the Lord that came to Hosea, the son of Bria. In the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah, and in the days of Jeroboam, the son of Joash, king of Israel. So this is the family of Hosea. So what's when the Lord began to speak by Hosea, the Lord said to Hosea, go take yourself a wife of harlotry and children of harlotry, for the land has committed great harlotry by departing from the Lord. Wow, this is getting intense, Jeremy.
You had me at hello.
So we better explain this real well because I'm feeling kind of depressed right now.
You are? Yeah, it's a very exciting word that makes people feel really happy. This is one of the things you think that, like, I want God to speak to me. He has good plans for me, good thoughts for me, good words for me. And then he comes and he says something like this. Hey, Hosea, nice to meet you. Go take a wife of harlotry and children of harlotry, for the land has created great harlotry against me. Is that kind of strange for you? Like, what would you feel if that was like the first time God spoke to you?
That would be, I would just ask why. Like, why?
I would be like, I don't think that's you. Like,
right.
What are the signs? Like, I need some sort of fleece like thing. Can I pull out something like Gideon did or something, you know, and like be like, verification, verification. This doesn't sound like God to me.
I mean, go take a wife that's a harlot. I mean,
I'm pretty sure there's things in the Bible about not doing that, wouldn't you say? Like, isn't there like a verse about it somewhere? Like, you've been studying this for a long time.
I mean, yeah. I mean, it's everywhere, okay? There's so many instances that I can't, I mean, it would just take a long time to name
them
all.
Too many to think about. That's what, I mean, you know, and so like you'd think that would mean that it's like, oh, okay.
Hey, listen, I didn't get my degree in biblical studies like you, Jeremy, so
I haven't.
You're the expert.
Either. I just, it was online.
Okay. A very, very prestigious university.
Very prestigious. And so we're sitting here and we're trying to refocus. We're talking about, what are we talking about again? We're talking about
harlots.
Good things happening to bad people. Bad things happening to good people. Is that the one? That's the one.
Bad things happening to good people.
Yes.
And but so, our, but
well,
harlots?
God comes to Hosea, good people,
right?
Tells him to marry bad people.
Yeah.
Doesn't it feel like a bad thing happening to a good person?
Yes.
And so now he's been commanded to marry this bad person and let bad things happen to him. So he goes and he gets married. He obeys God. He has a kid. This kid, it says, conceived and bore Hosea, a son. So that was his kid. Cool. First kid turned out okay.
Yeah.
Second one.
One for one.
It just said conceived again. She conceived again. No mention of Hosea. Hmm. And bore a daughter.
So just she, Hosea's not in the picture.
Hosea's not in the picture.
That sounds a little sketchy.
Yeah, and then she conceived and bore a son. And then the names are...
Was Hosea involved with the third one?
It says she conceived.
That's
she,
it.
No, nothing about Hosea. And the names are... I will... the names are Lo Rama, which means no mercy. And then the second one is kind of ominous. It means not my people, not my kid.
Wow. Not my kid, maybe the mailman's kid?
Maybe. I mean, whoever the kid was, whoever the dad was, no one knows. I mean,
right. You know? Gotcha.
And so he's sitting there. I mean, you kind of feel the heaviness around this.
Yeah, I'm ready for you to pick me back up. I'm ready for this.
Up.
Or do we need to go through a little bit more suffering and anguish?
Okay, we're going to shoot back. So that's kind of the setup behind all this. Hosea has encountered God, heard God's voice. It says when God began to talk to Hosea,
Wow. The
first thing he said was, do this crazy thing that'll make your life miserable.
Mm-hmm.
And then it made his life miserable.
Yeah, definitely.
And then he gets to sit there and bring God goes and explains what it's all about in chapter 2. And one of the things that it's all about is that Hosea was supposed to be a good husband to her. Taking care of her. And so that when finally the stuff all happens, she's and all the bad fruits of everything that happened around Hosea's wife comes, it says, God actually goes, and as the bad wife is going and doing all this stuff, she stops getting a return on the investment. The high wears off. You know what I mean? It says, and that is actually God hedging her way with thorns and walling her in so she cannot find the path. And she will chase her lovers but not find them. She will seek them but not find them. And then she'll say, I'm going to return to my first husband because it was better for me than now. And so there's this whole process that's happening behind the scenes in Gomer's heart. Hosea has no idea what's going on, right? Mm-hmm. Hosea's over there, like, just sad that he has two kids he doesn't know who's the father of that he's having to take care of.
Mm-hmm.
He has one kid that's, okay, cool, you know, I got one kid, you know. But, like, at this point, we don't even know, like, where is Gomer? Like, what's going on with this whole thing? Like, you know?
Right.
I did what God told me to do.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
Like, do you feel how awful that must be for the poor guy?
Oh, man.
And it's, like, all of it's about her, not him.
Wow. Interesting. So who does Gomer represent here? Is Gomer pointing to anybody in particular?
You can sit there and say it's like any number of things. I mean, what I would say, what I think personally, is it's kind of like there's parts of us that aren't completely surrendered.
Oh, that was a mic drop moment. That was a mic drop moment. Sorry, I didn't say it right the first time.
And so we're partially surrendered to
God. Oh, no, Jeremy, just get out the scalpel and just cut us deep.
And so...
just don't say partially again.
And so we're not completely...
Oh, that's even worse. I'm getting convicted. Who's convicted? Raise your hand.
And so, I mean, if you'll notice, there's another thing in Revelation where it says you've left your first love.
Yeah, wow.
The love you had at the first. Jezreel, the first kid. You've left it. And now, all of a sudden, you have this interesting thing happens that we see all throughout the Bible. For example, in Judges.
Okay, Judges. Remember taking us to Judges.
When we hear about Micah building, going and stealing his mother's gold and then confessing to it and making an idol for it. Guess what the mom says? I'm going to consecrate this gold to the Lord and you can make an idol for it, an ephod for it. And it's, so she's like consecrating this thing to the Lord. Making an idol to worship the Lord, completely just... messing up everything that was supposed to happen. And that's kind of what happens with us, you know? So like the first kid is like pure and like we're like 100% on fire about God. But as we sit there and get weeds and we stop like being as on fire, as all of a sudden like we get adulterated.
Oh, adulterated. Oh, man. That's true. So what would be the...
And so we sit there and we're sitting there. Well, why are good things... why are bad things happening to good people? And I mean, that's kind of what it is. It's like, are we really good? Who is good? You know? And then let's say we are good. Let's say Hosea was good, didn't do anything bad at all. He's a part of God's plan for Gomer.
Wow.
To bring Gomer back.
Yeah.
You know? And so he's sitting there getting absolutely destroyed, and it's a miserable time for him. But if he surrenders to what God's doing, he gets to be a key player in Gomer's life, redeeming life story about redemption.
Wow. That's awesome.
Right? Like, that's where we see her in chapter 3. Where he's like, go again. Love a woman who's loved by another lover, Gomer. And is committed adultery, just like the love of the Lord for the children of Israel, who look after the other gods and love the cakes of the pagans. So I bought her for myself for 15 shekels of gold. Gomer had gone and sold herself to a pimp, and he had to go and rescue her from it.
Right? Wow.
And so he paid the price, and then he said, you'll stay with me for many days, and we'll not play the harlot, and I'll do the same towards you. And so for many days, the king, you know, and so there's like this kind of dryness time that God brings us into, where we're like, you know, and that's actually one of the coolest pictures in Hosea 2, when you look, because what's he say? He says, I will hedge her in so she can't find her paths. And I'll take her into the wilderness. I'll destroy all these things that she's sat there and given to her lovers that I gave to her. And I will allure her and will bring her into the wilderness and speak comfort to her.
Wow.
And so we think, as we're sitting here, I want a life that has these things. Faithful wife.
What?
A faithful wife.
Yes.
You know? But God says, I want you to take an unfaithful wife. That's not God. That's not good. But there's a process that he's working on that we're not even aware of to bring people back to himself.
Wow, that's good.
And that's really the hard part for us, is that we're not aware how this could possibly ever work for good. It seems so random, so pointless, so stupid, such a waste. Like, there's worse people that should be dying right now. You know, there's worse people that should be going through this, not us, you know. And it's especially hard when we feel the word of the Lord is all connected into it, don't you think?
Yes. Wow, Jerry, you are preaching, man.
Oh, sorry. Okay.
I'm speechless over here. Convicted, speechless.
I've been studying it too long, man. Too long.
Jerry, I think you need to pray for everybody. I think the best kind of encouragement is when you feel convicted, I think.
I guess so.
When you feel convicted, because I think those messages we need to hear. So I receive it.
I receive it.
Amen. Amen. Well,
everyone's going to go and cry now. This is like a bad first episode.
This is not. This is
We sometimes think that God is about bringing us into bounty, but a lot of times in order to do that, we have to go through a wilderness first.
Wow.
That's good.
And that's
I think a lot of people can actually identify with that and really relate to maybe being like, you know, why do I have this wife? Why do I have this job? Why do I have this, you know, this church? Why do I have this house? You know, all different kinds of things. And they don't see from God's perspective that he's trying to bring redemption to people that are around you or your family or even yourself.
Even yourself.
Even yourself, okay?
It's like every time you say yes to God, he's growing you a little bit more. And every single time Hosea was challenged to do what he did, he could have said no.
Yeah, that's good. I had a friend once that told me, you can say ouch. You can tell the Lord ouch, but don't say stop. Because he'll stop if you tell him to stop. But you can say ouch, like, oh, this is painful. This hurts. This isn't any fun. Or, you know, kind of give me strength, give me grace. But if you say stop, then the Lord will stop. He'll leave you alone if you want to be left alone, you know? So, and that's the worst place to be when I'm going to throw in a football analogy. I know I do these a lot, but they're so good, okay?
It's just an applicable thing to everyday life.
No one else appreciates them, I feel like. Like, oh no, another one of Matt's football analogies.
That's a stretch.
But it's so good. All right.
All right, here we go. Go, Coach Matt.
So
we need to cue up the
most coaches aren't trying to make you feel warm and fuzzy all the time. Most coaches are trying to get you to grow, get you to improve and expand your capacity, okay?
Oh, capacity.
So the way that they do that is not...
We've been intentionally developing throughout this entire podcast.
Yeah. Oh, I almost dropped it here. Okay. So coaches are trying to expand your capacity. And the way that they do that is putting you in stressful situations. And they're not... Yeah. And so you learn to grow. You learn to be able to handle different things. And the moment that they stop putting you in stressful situations is the moment that you need to be panicked, not when coaches are yelling at you.
It feels like they're giving up on you.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because if a coach leaves you alone, then he doesn't think that you're worth it. He doesn't think that
you're not worth his time.
Yeah. You're not worth his time. Yeah. So it's like you should be encouraged that your coach is putting you in stressful situations, yelling at you, and well, God would never yell at you, you know. I don't want to make that comparison, but if God leaves you alone, you should be worried that there isn't any resistance in your life. That you should be like, oh, you know.
Yeah, yeah, that's really good.
You might be left
good
alone.
Football analogy, buddy. I tell you what, woohoo! Yeah. I feel the spirit on that one.
Oh, you're just being encouraging.
No, I'm not.
Oh, that's you shouldn't say. No, you do.
You do.
All right, everyone, put in the chat one of your own analogies. You could be a nurse, or you could be a, I don't know, in the septic tank business,
bean farmer.
Bean farmer. Yeah, farmers probably have a lot of good analogies. So put your analogy in the chat, okay? We want to hear them.
Next week we'll put the best three.
The best three anecdotal stories.
Into our podcast.
Yeah, that kind of play, explain Hosea too. We'll read them online.
Sounds great, bud.
All right, so we gotta end this. We got to end this session with some sort of, I don't know, explosion. Some sort of excitement.
What should it be?
Some sort of charge or encouragement or like deep, inspirational, uplifting thing.
Thus saith the Lord. Okay, not the Lord. No, this is I. The Lord speaking.
Yeah, but you got to speak in Old English, though.
Thou shalt saith yea. To what heir thine Lord saith to thee? Eh?
I think now we're putting everyone to sleep. Well, if you hung in there this long with us, we appreciate it. And we just want
better use of your time.
No. I mean, this was gold. I'm not gonna even say that. If you were listening to this, you just got rich.
Rich. It's riches. Very true.
All right, everybody. We'll see you next time.
All right.